me get to know ya. Hey, na, 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 delve into emotion, leave us in this moment. Yeah. Hello, welcome to Literature License Podcast. This is the Getting to Know You interview with Joe Randazzo. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Hey, guys. Great to see you again.
Always good to see you.
So, our first question to you is, who are you and what do you do for a living or on your spare time? And what do you want people to know about you?
Who am I? A writer, also still waiting tables, still bartending, still doing all that good stuff. What do I want people to know about me? I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of an open book. I feel like if you know me well enough, I feel like you know enough about me. I've loved films for, a long time. Like going back to, my parents taking me to see stuff in the theaters in the 80s. So when I was a teenager, like in the mid 90s, I realized this is what I wanted to do. And I just kind of pursued it then at the cost of everything else. And how successful that is, we can figure that out another time. But as of right now, pretty happy with most of what I'm doing.
Is there anything you would like to plug or plug in your social media, a website, anything particular that?
Well, I'm a regular on the Literary License Podcast, and they just made me a guest. They just made me a permanent host.
I know. We're really excited about having you.
Honestly, right now, there's a lot of stuff I've written while everything's been locked down, but it's not like anybody can really go check that out. You know, I'm trying to get these projects made. So I guess check out Cesar Nato's Paranormal Halloween on Tubi. Cool. Dave Canfield and I made that in 2014. I think it's the only one of Perfect Candidate is available in a lot of places. I know Troma Now is going to be putting it on soon. Okay. They haven't put it yet. Those are the only films of mine that are like available, widely on streaming. You can get Deadly Xmas on DVD as part of the Holiday Horrors.
Well, didn't you help with Hex and Arcane?
I did help with Hex and Arcane. Amazon took them down. But I helped to produce their first season on which you can get on YouTube, and I think they're still on Vimeo.
Good. I was going to ask where they could be found because I couldn't find them.
Yeah, Amazon Prime took them down, and unfortunately, I don't know. They're going to work on getting everything back up there. You can definitely check them out on YouTube, though.
What's your favorite genre of film?
You asked me today. It's horror movies because generally that's what I'm associated with, and it was the first genre that I really loved. Like I always looked for something that might scare me when I was a kid, and it very rarely actually does scare me. I think a good ghost story could scare me still or creep me out at least. I'd never seen the Conjuring movies until earlier this year. And I remember that first Conjuring movie, I remember sitting there going, holy shit, this is actually tense. This is actually actually getting under my skin a little. So horror is definitely the genre I love the most, but I love all of them. I can watch any kind of movie and I try really hard to watch at least one movie a day. I don't know it's not always possible, but I try to.
I feel ya. What do you have a favorite film?
Again, depends on what day you ask me. Normally my answer to this is Sergio Leone's Once Upon a Time in America, the gangster epic he made in 1984. Oddly enough, because I feel like although it strays far from the novel, I've never read The Hoodlums. It's probably as close as like I've ever seen to a novel actually being put on film, because of just how slowly it burns and how deeply you feel like you know the characters and you know their relationships. And there's something about that movie that's kind of hypnotic to me. And I try to watch it every couple of years just to kind of refresh. That's normally the answer I give. I started to really love Mulholland Drive by David Lynch a lot more, and I started mentioning that more often. I was telling somebody I work with that I think Casablanca is one of the most perfect movies ever made. I think it's one of the very few absolutely perfect movies. So those are the three that immediately
that work.
Probably a lot more. Wait, I didn't realize my phone was on. Let me go turn that off.
So what is your earliest film memory? Like the first film that you saw? Do you remember what year?
I don't remember what the first film I saw was. From what I heard, I used to, when my parents used to take me to the video store on the corner, I used to rent Roy Ward Baker's The Monster Club a lot. And I think
I could so see that.
To the point that, like, I'm at my place in LA, I had the original framed poster hung. It's in my storage locker now. But there was something, I think it was the box art that got me, because it was the movie poster, which is by Graham Humphreys. Great, fantastic. I actually didn't even know that the guy who created the poster, he and I are friends on Facebook now. I had no idea. But this great like collage of like colorful monster faces. And the VHS tape was one of those big box tapes where you had Elvira on the side of it, just kind of pointing to the poster art. And I'm like, there's something about that that still to this day kind of is everything I love right there, right in the open. Hot goth woman, bunch of monsters.
Hot goth woman. Can't live without the hot goth woman.
I think Elvira made me more interested in the genre than I ever would have been otherwise.
Well, I think she did more for the genre than anybody else, actually. Do you have a favorite book or author?
Right now I'm knee deep in The Dead Zone, and I'm absolutely loving it. I'd never read The Dead Zone before. Probably up until this point, I probably would have said either The Things They Carried, which again, it's kind of cinematic in a way, because I haven't read it in a long time. So it wouldn't be too smart for me to try to go into too many details. I think it's very cinematic in the way it kind of unravels. The Godfather, by Mario Puzo. I love the novel. I read it, also when I was in high school.
Required reading.
When the Legends Die.
You're going to an Italian school.
You're an Italian grown up in Bensonhurst. That shit's surrounding you.
That explains all of that right there. You don't see no more.
What episode are you looking forward to in season 5 of the Literary License podcast?
Season 5 is the 80s.
The '80s and the Kings of Horror.
Horror, yep.
Yes. Probably Ghost Story, because I never read the novel and I really enjoyed the movie. The episode with the Changeling. That's one I'm really looking forward to, because I absolutely love that movie and I can't wait
to talk about it.
Those are Night of the Demons also. Kevin Tenney is a dear friend. I absolutely love him. I love that movie, and I cannot wait to talk about it. So it's probably those three are probably the ones I'm looking forward to most.
Actually, I was reviewing Ghost Story Month, and it's like Ghost Story, and then of course we're doing The Changeling in the Fog, and it's like we're bringing old Hollywood into the modern the 80s. It's kind of funny.
It is, because you have why is his name?
Al Holbrook.
Yes.
Janet Leigh coming into the fog.
And what is
Mervyn Douglas?
Mervyn Douglas is who I was thinking of. I was like, I just
Ghost
saw
Story?
Him being there.
Yeah. He was in Ghost Story, correct?
And The Changeling.
Oh, that's right. He played the old codger, the rich old codger.
And I just
he was the brother. That won't get into that though.
I just watched him in the James Whale's The Old Dark House. So yeah, he absolutely pops up every.
I don't see him in a lot though from back in the '80s, but he did pop up.
He died. He died right after the Changeling.
So yeah, he died in the early '80s. That's why you didn't see him much.
When he died,
he got to do the Changeling and Being There right before he died, which are two fantastic.
Oh, okay. What a shame.
At least he went out with.
Oh, I love that film. I got that on Blu-ray.
Which one?
Being There with Shirley MacLaine, Mervyn Douglas, and Peter Sellers.
I love Shirley MacLaine still. A lot of she's been quiet though.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of people that we grew up on aren't really working much anymore. But
no, they finally got smart and retired. Living the good life is what I want to do.
Well, they're all in their 70s to 90s now. So that probably
living the good life and chilling. Yes, exactly.
Like Joe Pesci and Gene Hackman, they only come out and work when they want to.
Yeah. And imagine Shirley MacLaine's probably just waiting to come back into the life. So
this is true. Don't be making fun of my girl. Okay, do you have a favorite quote, saying that you like to impart?
I can't think. You see, that's the one that's like I couldn't think of one just off the top of my head.
The wit and wisdom of Joe.
I don't like to quote myself. I feel like I would sound pretentious if I quoted myself. But when I was looking over the questions last night, I was doing this while I was working at work. So I was kind of looking over going, I can't even think of what I would say. Cause I mean, I just try to be on the fly and just be natural with stuff like that. I guess it would always depend on the situation, but I can't think of any quote or saying that like just stands out to me. I mean, I guess maybe just be good to each other, which we really fucking need.
Really, right now. We really need a lot of that right now. Yeah. Oh my God.
That'd probably be the best thing I could tell anybody. Just try.
That's
just
very fitting. Very, very fitting.
A little bit of understanding will go a long, long way.
Yes, please.
So what do you like about podcasting now that you've been doing it almost consistently for a full year?
Yeah. I mean, with you guys specifically, because I generally do like a little guest spot here and there on other places. But with you guys, what I'm enjoying is being able to discuss something that I'm really passionate about with film, with horror, with writing, a lot of this stuff. It's cool to revisit a lot of older movies that, like, sometimes you'll throw a curveball my way and I'll be like, wow, I haven't seen that movie in 25 years. Let me revisit it. Or sometimes it'll be something where I'm like, I wasn't a fan of it. And then when I rewatch it now, I'm like, I'm glad I rewatched it because I saw something in it that I didn't see before. And I find that in general, film criticism, I feel like Vicky and I spoke about this a couple months ago when Joe Bob Briggs showed Sledgehammer and and Things. I feel like people are way too harsh on a lot of movies.
They
like,
were
that was
harsh.
The worst movie I've ever seen.
Wasn't that the VHS edition?
Yeah, those were the shout out.
It was painful. VHS. You knew it was a little painful.
And I feel like more people need to watch movies like that before, like, the other day, I forgot what I was watching. Hudson Hawk. I'd never seen Hudson Hawk with Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello, and my roommate threw it on. And it was like, yeah, everyone says it's one of the worst movies ever made. And I watched it.
I liked it.
No, these people need to, like, see worse movies.
I like Hudson Hawk.
So I find, like, a lot of times, I'm like, I don't think people understand the difference between not liking a movie and actual bad filmmaking. But I try to be as kind as possible because there's a lot of times where it's like,
sometimes you just don't have an easy way out. Just like some.
They tried. You know, it's entertaining. Like, the worst thing I think you could do is make something completely, completely boring. Because sometimes even inept it can be a lot of fun. Like, I just went to see Hobgoblins last week because the guys from Riff Tracks did a live riffing of it. And I was like, I love Hobgoblins. It's a fucking terrible movie, but it's entertaining. Like, if anybody's like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen, like, you have not seen the bottom. You have not seen the true bottom. I feel like with a lot of the movies, like, even if there's something that I didn't like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, if I rewatch it now, with a little bit more perspective into how much worse it gets. And also having made films now, having made a handful of films that have been released in the last, you know, decade or so, realizing how much of a collaborative effort it is. And it's a miracle that any film ever gets made at all. Last year it was one of the, I hosted one of the virtual, my brain is so fried from work yesterday, but I hosted one of the
virtual events, online event.
And I remember the first thing, because it was for a film festival in Milwaukee. I remember one of the first things that I had said was the fact that any of you are here or have your film in this festival, whether the film wins anything or not, if you just wrote a screenplay, you fucking did something.
Yeah,
you actually did something, and that's more than a lot of people will ever do. A lot of people can talk about wanting to do something. Last week, when Ashanta's friends was texting me, asking me about his friend has a screenplay idea that he wants to pitch to Trump, and I told him, like, don't come at them with ideas. Write the screenplay. If they don't want it, you can, maybe it'll never get made, but at least you have something tangible. Yeah. Anybody can sit here and say, I have an idea.
That's true.
Very few people actually have the follow through to make it happen. And if you've written a screenplay, if you've made a film, if you shot a pilot for a web series, whatever you've done, no matter how small you may think it is, no matter how insignificant you might think it is, you've actually created something. You've taken that next step in actually making something. And that's something that I think needs to be commended, regardless of any perceived quality.
Understood.
I mean, exactly right. I mean, even if something happens in your lifetime, it doesn't find its audience. It might find your audience after your lifetime.
Seems like all the great artists weren't discovered until after their death, you know? So
when the people in power didn't have to pay them anymore.
That too. Depending on where the rights went.
Yeah, and your work's worth so much more after that as well.
you'll never reap the benefits of it.
But. No, somebody else will, though. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Someone in charge of your estate might.
Do you have a message to our fans that listen to us that might have changed your life? Anything that is kind of groundbreaking for you or epiphany wise, kind of?
I mean, I think it's just the idea that I try not to let, like, if you, like, I noticed with a couple of people sometimes, like, I'm one of those people that when I get passionate about something, I dive into it, like, into, like, every depth of it. Like, I'm probably one of those people where if we sat down and watched a movie together, I'd probably be annoying because I'd be like, oh, that's when this, and this. Yeah, at this point, this, and this has to happen because the story needs to move into this realm. And that, there's two kinds of people. There's the people like me that, when they see something and they see how it's made, we embrace it. And then there's people who get so passionate to something, they jump into it and they end up, you know, it ends up kind of ruining it for them. Try not to let, if you're passionate about something and following it, try not to let the fire and the spark go out, because right, that's probably the worst thing in the world. I enjoy the construction of a story and the construction of cinema. And like I said, I am one of those people that'll be like, ah, yep, it's 5 minutes in. That's usually when we start to get a feel for what the arc of the story is going to be. Ah, 12 minutes in, that's the inciting incident right there. I'm one of those people that my brain is constantly going like that. And I realize I can't be like that with everybody. Like, I have to kind of internalize that and be like, okay, 5 minutes into Rocky, this is where he says he doesn't want to be just another bum from the neighborhood. That's the idea, and that's the idea that drives the first movie and potentially the entire series. Exactly. But you always find that, and you can't let knowing that stuff ruin it for you, because then you realize everything's a formula and you've been watching the same movie for 40 years. But I feel like you chase after it and learn how everything's done, learn how to do everything the right way, and try not to let it completely put out the spark. That's probably the best thing that I can think of.
It well said.
So when your time has passed in this earth, what is the one thing that you want to remember for?
I hope it's just that, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess ultimately in the grand scheme of things, you know, maybe, hey, he never did anything to really hurt anybody. You know, I mean, what else can you really want? You know, but I guess you don't want to be
a decent guy. You know, it's all you can do is be your best.
Yeah, you don't want to be remembered as Hitler. You know, you don't want to be, that guy. You don't want to be remembered in that
way. You kind of want to keep some good company.
You want to make sure you have the book and movie rights.
When I said the bar that low. I said the
bar. If you're going to be remembered as Hitler, you want the book and movie rights.
yeah, this is right. There you go. Always thinking for everybody. There you go.
I feel like if I set the bar that low, it wasn't as bad as Hitler.
I want the TV movie with Zac Efron.
I mean, I guess if I'd like to be remembered for anything, it'd be I would like to have something. I would like to make something that's really great and really resonates for generations to come. Not everybody gets that chance. I've made my peace with the fact that like that may never come for me. It may not. I will keep plugging away to try to get something to that level. But I'll settle for he wasn't as bad a person as Hitler.
That'll work.
Well, you know, it's good to put that you know, the bar low. So I think you'll be okay.
That's right. You can only have high expectations now.
I've killed considerably fewer people than Hitler.
Joe won't be opening fire on a crowd anytime soon.
No.
Don't be worried about Joe. Okay.
So one final question, just to round up everything, is that you now live in Chicago?
I'm in the Chicago suburbs right now, yeah.
Chicago. And where did you grow up?
Brooklyn, New York.
I knew that's why I liked him.
Well, I think we're all native New Yorkers here, right?
Basically, yep, New York State. And then Tom is from
Brooklyn
as well. John lives in New York, but he's from California.
He's from California now in New York. He did the opposite jump of what I originally did. I find myself now in the burbs for now. I'm hoping to be able to afford to live in LA again soon.
I lived in Chicago for a while.
I like the burbs.
I'm bored. I like heading out into the city as often as I can.
Evanston's not as exciting as a John Hughes movie.
And where I work is literally like a couple blocks away from Shermer High School. So it's strange, man. It's a culture shock when you grow up in like a lower middle class Brooklyn neighborhood, and you don't ever think you're poor because we weren't poor. We never starved. You know, we never, my parents
had what we needed.
Yeah, we had what we needed. But then when I come out here and I see like, holy shit, man,
it's like North Dallas. It's a vulgar display of wealth. It's just ridiculous.
When I see like how people live in like Northbrook and Glencoe and like this area up here,
and it's always north. Have you ever noticed that? It's always north. They're never
south. Yeah, they're all along the Great Lakes here, and
the Great Lakes are beautiful though. You have to admit.
They are. I love them. I mean, Evanston isn't as boring as like the other burbs. There's actually stuff to do in Evanston because it's a college town. You got Northwestern, but like I'm living in Palatine, Illinois right now, and there ain't fuck to do out here.
You need to get out more, Joe.
I try to. I mean, I was getting out and doing a lot of stuff. I was hosting events for Troma. I was doing stuff with them.
Oh, that was great.
Everything just the whole world just kind of went into a little brief reset for a while. But hopefully
things will pick up again. I see that Troma is not wasting any time.
Oh, no. No, they're not. And I started submitting some of the screenplays I co-wrote during the lockdown. I taught my roommate how to write a screenplay, and we knocked out two, and we're working on the third and fourth. And I started sending them out to competitions because I'm like, I would love an excuse. Like I'm going at the end of this week. I'm going to enter it into a competition in Louisville, Kentucky. I don't care. I'll go to Louisville for a film festival. I will go anywhere. Like, I just want to like actually like get out again. Like I miss being able to like just hop on a plane and be like, I'm going to LA this week to do something. I was supposed to be working on a movie in San Francisco last year that got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And that never happened because of COVID. Lloyd invited me to, to work at the Troma booth at Comic-Con in San Diego last year, and I was looking forward to that, and that became virtual. So I just want to get out again.
I'd kill to do something like that. That would be great.
Right? I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And of course, when that opportunity presents itself, the whole world goes to shit.
Well, I think the world's about, I think we're starting to get back to the swing of things. I know that
things
here are starting to open up again. And So, Joe, I want to thank you a lot. Of course, Joe will be joining us for our two for ones, and he'll also be doing some guest co-hosting on some of the Kings of Horror. So we'll see you for your next episode for Dead Zone.
That is the next one. Wow.
Yeah.
I got to revisit the movie soon. I love the Cronenberg movie, and it's another one I haven't seen in a long time. So
yeah, it's excellent.
You got a month of Cronenberg. So there you go.
Yeah, we do.
That's right. We got Videodrome, which actually I just watched Videodrome last year, and I think Scanners?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
I just like when the heads blow up. That's my part.
Oh, and James Woods. James Woods is a Videodrome, and he was in my favorite movie that I just mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Once Upon a Time in America. He's really great at playing a sleazy motherfucker.
He is. Acne scars go a long, long way for that.
They do.
So, well, we'll leave you there, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Bye, Joe.
Bye.
Since moment.